Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God be with you and bless you, and give you eyes to see and ears to hear. And thank you, Lord, for that mercy towards us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to continue with Endure to Manifest Salvation, number 5. I'd like to talk about how our faith transforms us as we endure to manifest salvation. Some would say, well, David, I already know about this, but many have to be reminded in the midst of their trials of the good news that they forget so easily. And of course, that's the devil's MO, right? So understand that you can keep God's commandments because of grace and not because of your own ability or the lack thereof. You can obey him because of the reconciliation Jesus made at the cross. He took your sins and he put them on the cross and he gave you his righteousness. We are to reckon it done by faith. And that's why it's called the good news. Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20, it's no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So Paul was living by faith. He was confessing what the Bible said about him, and confessing that it was true, that his old man was now dead, and he was confessing that he died at his baptism, and that when he came up out of that water, it was Jesus who now lived in him. So faith is what empowers you to be obedient to the Word of God, and empowers you to see yourself the way the Bible tells you to see yourself. Our problem is that we walk by sight, and if you walk by sight, like the world does, that's all you're ever going to get. And a lot of people find that out, and they give up on religion entirely, but they don't realize it's religion. So we need to see the way Peter says to see, and that's by faith. 2 Peter 1 and 3 says, seeing that his divine power hath granted, past tense, unto us all things that pertain unto life, and that's God's life, and godliness through the knowledge of him. We have to see it's been done. At the cross, Jesus gave you everything you need. It's already yours, and you have to accept it by faith. You have to believe that the divine power has given to you everything that you need for his life and godliness. The Bible says that reconciliation was accomplished on the cross. It's a waste of time to not believe what the Bible says is already yours. God is not schizophrenic. He doesn't say one thing in his word and then do another. He wants you to be, according to Philippians 1 and 6, confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So you see, it's his work in you through faith in what Jesus gave to you on the cross. But remember, James 2 and 17. Even so, faith, if it have not works, it is dead in itself. So you can flip-flop on either side of the center here, but it won't do you any good. Faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself. Some people have faith. That is not faith. And what they're calling faith is only mentally acknowledging something. We want faith And faith, according to Romans 4:17, calleth the things that are not as though they were. We recognize that we don't see them in the physical realm, but we don't care. We're agreeing with the Word of God. Faith brings the manifestation that we need. If you want more of God's provision, He wants you to have it. Faith does what Jesus said in Mark 11:24. This is the NENT version. Therefore, I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that ye received them, and you shall have them. Mm-hmm. So the condition here is faith. It was designed to be so simple that a child can receive it. But worldly wisdom doesn't make sense, and it'll block you from receiving from God. God made it this way in order that only those people who received faith could receive the promise, and faith is a gift of God. So you can ask for it. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace have ye been saved through faith." It's already done. And that's not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. That is faith. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, meaning your works, that no man should glory. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now the second works here is God's works. And they come to you by faith. He works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Okay. Which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. That is his works. Right. See, there's a difference between your works and God's works through you. His works through you. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. This is the good news. You don't have to work it up in yourself. He will give it to you. People like to teach the unconditional love of God, so you may never have heard that God hates anybody. But God hates all those whose works are evil. However, he sees you from the beginning as the finished product, and that's the way you've got to see yourself. But let's cover this point first. Romans 9:13 says, "Even as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated." And Psalm 5:5, "The arrogant shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." And 11:5, "The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth." So there's many verses like that in the Bible. He hates sin. Some people say he hates sin, but he loves the sinner. Well, let me say that the sinner is sin. That's what he's made of. He only gets to choose what sin he wants to do, and God will even direct that. So, but the point is, God loves goodness. He does not love sin. God is in the process of creating sons, and there must be Christ-likeness born in you for you to manifest that. You manifest sonship as you grow in sanctification, which is separation from the world unto God. And if you obey his commandments, you will be separated from the world. Matthew 10:34 says, "Think not that I came to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." And this sword is to separate the wicked from the righteous, and wickedness from righteousness. We need to have a good discernment about that. So that's his desire, is to separate the wickedness from your life, and ultimately separate the wicked from among a good congregation. So when you're separated from the world, your works are God's works. God's desire is to manifest sonship in order to have fellowship with you. God's the one doing this. Ephesians 1 and 5 says, having foreordained us unto adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So, by faith, we believe that God is the one, in Colossians 1 and 13, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Do you believe he did that? Yes, he did that. And you know what? We have to remember that in the midst of the trial. And we should have no fear. Just believe. The only difference between the person who's chosen and the person who's not chosen is faith. So believe. People worry. I wonder if I'm one of the elect. Well, believe that you are one of the elect and take steps towards God. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1 and 10, wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election, or choosing, same word, sure. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. So God wants to bring us to the place where we do these things. It's not just accepted by faith, but it's come to manifestation. We do these things. He said, you'll never stumble. For thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's how we enter the kingdom. Well, the kingdom is where God rules you. Okay? So when we come to that place, well, we don't have to worry about the old man. He's dead, right? So did you know that you can't worry and have faith at the same time? If you're anxious, then you're not having faith. Stop worrying about what you have not done or what you need to do. Exercise faith in what Christ has done, and you will do what he wants. You have no ability to be anything but what you are unless something from the outside reaches in and changes you. You just do what you are. However, through our faith, the Holy Spirit reaches in and changes our heart. And as you believe what the Bible says, you have been given. What is yours? It's very simple, and it's free. It's not by your works, otherwise you have earned it, and that's not grace. So let's go to 1 John 3 and 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. The KJV says sons of God, but the Greek word there is technon, which means children. And there is a difference in the scripture. It has to be seen. It may sound pretty the other way, but this is the fact. And such we are. Sons of God, such we are. We are sons of God by faith. By manifestation, generally speaking, we are children of God. We grow into our sonship. And because we are children of God, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. And verse 2 says, beloved, now are we the children of God, and it's not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested, and that means manifested in us, shining forth from us, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. You see that if you see him as he is, you can come into his image. You see that? And everyone that hath this hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So if Christ is manifested, we will be like him. That's what the Bible says. So we're headed towards this manifestation in all areas. The KJV translators put, when he shall appear, thinking that this is a physical coming of the Lord, which it is not. The Received text, the Nestle's text, and the Numeric Bible all say, if he shall be manifested. There's an if there, not a when. Now, we know it's when, if you believe in it, it's talking about his coming. We know that's when. But this is if, and that's talking about, is he coming in you, right? If he shall be manifested in us. Because this is not talking about his coming in the air. This is talking about his manifestation in us. And what does it mean to see him even as he is? The Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with an unveiled face, that's what we have to have, an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image. So, you have to see the image in the mirror as an accomplished fact before you can be transformed. That's how faith works. For Christ to be manifested in you, you have to see him as he is, not the Jesus that men have made him, right? Not the fallen Jesus, the useless Jesus that doesn't help, save, deliver, and so on and so forth. That's a dead religious Jesus that they've created for themselves. So when you look in the Word, you become familiar with the face of Jesus. That's your face. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So by faith you accept that as your gift from God, right? It's not because you're able to do that, because none of us is able, and not because you're worthy, because none of us is worthy, but because it's been given to you through the reconciliation, meaning the exchange of his life for your sinful life. So the glory is the righteousness of Christ, the truth of Christ, his being, his presence, but you have to behold him in the mirror and not some other Christ. We want the Jesus of the Bible. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? If it's not this Jesus, then you're going to be manifesting the wrong image. Paul warned us about receiving another Christ, and many in the church have done this. And another spirit. Galatians 1:6 says, I marvel that you are so quickly removing from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto a different gospel, which is not another gospel, only there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven should preach unto you any gospel other than that which we preached unto you, let him be anathema or accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preacheth unto you any gospel other than that which ye received, let him be anathema. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still pleasing men, I should not be a servant of Christ. So there is another gospel being preached out there, a different Jesus, a pretty useless Jesus, that has left all the supernatural gifts, healings, deliverances, provisions, fall behind 2,000 years ago. But that's not true. These are liars. So notice that John says in 1 John 3 and 3, and everyone that hath this hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Is God able to do that? Well, of course. He wouldn't put this in there if he wasn't able to do this. How can we purify ourselves? Well, you do it through promises in the Word of God. Ephesians 6 and 14. Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, withal taking up the shield of faith. People drop their shield all the time, and they get the fiery arrows, you know. Hold up your shield of faith. Continue to believe you have received the true Jesus, right? Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. See, a lot of times people, the devil starts condemning people, and they start dropping their shield. They think they did that because they don't have any faith. When they accept something like that, they don't have any faith. And take the helmet of salvation. Now, of course, that's the knowledge that you have been delivered. You have been saved and set free from the curse of sin. Read the Bible. Don't listen to what the preachers say. Read the Bible. It's the knowledge of what Jesus accomplished for you on the cross. Ephesians 6 and 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So you're to use faith and the Word against the old man, the flesh, the devil, and the world. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1 says, having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit. So you see, these promises are the sword with which you purify yourself. Let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, that's a good promise. The Bible says to stand and fight. Take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and use them against your enemies. Let's go to Romans 12 and 2. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you have to learn to think the way God tells you to think. This is called repentance. Man fell away from God because of the way he thought. And God says not to add to or to take away from His words, or the curses of the book will be upon you. Revelation 22 and 18. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life, contrary to popular opinion, and out of the holy city, which are written in this book. So the way out from under the curse is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change your mind. Your thinking is wrong. We have to think the way God tells us to think. That's repentance. That's a change of mind. We'll be transformed if we will do that. You don't do that by getting a couple of verses on Sunday morning and going on and talk about all moralizing that they do. You need to get the Word of God down in your heart, because quite generally, people are deceived in the denominations, just like they were in Jesus' day. Romans 6:11. Even so, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. You consider it done. Consider it done because of the reconciliation that Jesus made. At the cross, you were made free from sin. If you don't think like that, you can't walk away from it. And you'll never be able to stop sinning. I've heard a lot of people say, I just can't. Well, of course you can't. It's because you don't believe that you can. And you don't believe that God gave you the power to do it. In the early church, they were called believers. Believers in the gospel or the good news. What was the gospel? You have been set free from sin by the power of God because of what Jesus did for you, in a nutshell. A true believer is going to say, I can, because Philippians 4 and 13 tells us that. I can do all things in him that strengtheneth me. So our attitude has to change about our ability. Our ability is nothing but God's ability through us, because we believe it is total. His ability through us is total. Jesus gave you authority. Matthew 18 and 18, verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You can change the circumstances around you if you believe what this Bible tells you to believe. It will change everything. If you think about yourself the way the Bible tells you to think about yourself, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, God says, think the way I tell you to think. It will change your life, right? So, if you speak as an oracle of God, which means to speak in agreement with God. This is very important for the manifestation of sonship. 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speaketh, speaking as it were oracles of God, if any man ministereth, ministering as of the strength which God supplieth, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, whose is the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So the Greek word for oracle is logion, and it means an utterance of God, a divine utterance. You don't take away from his words, and you don't add to them. Otherwise, you have to live under the curse. Religion does this. They pick and choose verses. But the sum of thy words is truth, the Bible says. So they have to make their doctrines fit. Okay, but when you read the Bible, just remember, believe it whether you understand it or not. Sooner or later, you will understand it. First believe it, then you'll understand it. Paul said Christ is coming to be glorified in a group of people. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be marveled at in all them that believed, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. Jesus is going to be glorified in those people because they are going to believe what the Bible says. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. To which end we also pray always for you, that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire of goodness and every work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. and we know the Greek word for name is onoma, and it means all that a name implies of authority, character, rank, majesty, power, excellence, etc., of everything that the name covers. In short, nature, character, and authority. That's what the name means. So that the name, the nature, character, and authority of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. Amen. So Paul is praying that the very nature and character of Christ would be glorified in you. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 12. That the name, onoma, of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's according to the grace of our God. You say, we can't do that. It says, according to the grace of our God. It's his unmerited favor that causes you to do that. Don't say he can't do it. You might think you can't do it, but it doesn't matter. He can do it. That's why we believe him. Sonship will be manifested because you believe what the word says. The mind of the natural man is contrary to what the Bible says. Romans 8 and 6 says, for the mind of the flesh is death. Oh, and it comes out of your mouth, that's what it manifests too. The mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Let that come out of your mouth. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. That's the flesh. That's the old man. He can't go to heaven anyway. He's just got to die down here, right? So when you read the Bible, you have to repent. Repent is the Greek word metanoeo, and it means to think differently or to change your mind. Your thinking has been wrong, but when you read the Bible and accept what it says, it will change you and it will deliver you. Jesus told us in John 8 and 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Guess what? If you're not being set free, it's because you're not thinking on the truth. Exercise faith in what the Bible says, and you will be set free. Religion does nothing. Religion is just man's ideas about God. Accept God's own ideas about God. And why take someone else's opinion anyway, right? So back to 2 Thessalonians 1 and 12. That the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and ye in him. So where and how do you receive the glory that Paul mentions? Religion teaches that you get the glory in the next life. But that's not helping us in this life, and that's not what the Bible is talking about either. I've been reading the Bible diligently for a long time, and you can't find in the Bible even one instance where God comes and then changes the soul. In other words, in the hereafter. Most Christians believe that when God comes, he's going to take away your old dirty soul and give you a new one. Well, no, this has to happen before he comes. But the word says only that God's going to give you a new body in Romans 8 and 23. And not only so, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for our adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For in hope were we saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. So you're hoping for something to come, right? For who hopeth for that which he seeth? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And in Ephesians 1 and 12, to the end that we should be unto the praise of his glory, we who had before hoped in Christ, in whom ye also, having heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is an earnest of your inheritance unto the redemption of God's own possession, unto the praise of his glory. So we receive the glory here, and we receive it by bearing fruit here. Here is where we bear the fruit of Christ. The plant is planted in the dirt. I don't think there's any dirt in heaven, okay? It's planted in the dirt here, so that the dirt puts to death the outer part of the seed, and the seed starts sprouting, and it comes up, it bears the fruit. God comes and picks the fruit. He leaves the plant in the field. Yeah. So Jesus said the 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit that the righteous would bear has to be born on earth. He doesn't give it to you in heaven. You get it here. This is our one chance. We're running the race here. To those who are faithful in that race and bear fruit, he will give you a new body. But he didn't say he would give you a new soul in the next life. If you believe that, one day God will come and change me, then where is the motivation for you to bear fruit here and now? This is where the plant is planted. This is where it bears fruit. So that lie makes it very easy for the people who just want to be satisfied with where they are, and then they sit down and stop running the race and start enjoying their flesh, right? So Jesus gave you the gift of himself freely. Believe that you have the ability of Christ and that his life is in you. The gospel can be very simple, but it's not acceptable to the carnal, fleshly mind. The gospel is made so that a child can receive it, and children trust their father. The Apostle Paul said in Colossians 3 and 3, "For you died." He's speaking to people who are somewhere along the process. "For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested," and that's talking about in us, the shining forth of his glory from us, right? "Then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory." So that in you, Christ in you, is the glory that's shining out. If you're full of man's doctrine, man's ways, man's thinking, there's no glory. And again, this glory comes as we walk by faith and not by sight, as 2 Corinthians 3 and 18 says. "But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory." So you're saying, I see Jesus lives in me. I'm looking in the mirror and I'm seeing Jesus. And again, the glory is manifested here. And what does he mean by from glory to glory? Well, this is the three different bodies that people are given as a reward for the fruit or glory borne by them in this life. 1 Corinthians 15 and 38. "But God giveth it a body even as it pleased him." That is, they're going to receive this body for what? We'll see. "And to each seed a body of its own." Okay. Verse 41. "There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, or earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So this is what these glories are, is bearing the image of the heavenly. So we come into Christ-likeness, traveling through those three glories. We go from star glory to moon glory to sun glory. And if you die or leave this earth as a star glory, you receive a star glory body. And star glory is when you are self-righteous, believe it or not. In other words, you're not doing things by nature, but by religion. Your fruit is tied on with strings, somewhat. A star has its own individual glory shining from it. And there are many, many stars, just as we are separated because of self-righteousness or self-righteous denominations, which is in its very meaning is a separation, when we first come to Christ. You know, and soon as people begin to grow, they realize that these cults or sects of religions are wrong. They've accepted something, but they've not accepted the whole thing, right? And they've been trapped in something that does not continue to grow. Self-righteousness shows star glory. But moon glory is when we become dead to self and become one in unity with each other and only reflect the light of the sun, SUN/SON. So the moon is dead and does not have its own glory like the stars, who are separated. This death to self makes us capable of becoming one with each other. Sun glory is then possible. Remember what one of the last things Jesus prayed, Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one. This is God's plan. And that's what this progression through the glories, it brings us to, you see. Romans 6:4-7, listen carefully. We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death. That's moon glory. The moon is dead. It has no light of its own. That like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, that's sun glory. So we also might walk in newness of life. Sun glory is newness of life. It's Christ's life. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, that's moon glory, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. That's sun glory. I'm going to call it S-O-N glory. Yeah. Knowing that that our old man was crucified with him, that's moon glory, that the body of sin might be done away. There you go. So that we should no longer be in bondage to sin. For he that hath died is justified from sin. And the moon is dead. So, if you're looking at Jesus in the mirror by faith, you will go through these three stages from glory to glory. So, whatever stage you leave this earth, that is the body you will have, among other heavenly benefits, of course. There are many more benefits to those who have manifested sun glory. So Paul is saying when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested in us, then shall we also with him be manifested in glory. Praise be to God, right? So let us see that God is speaking of fruit and glory born in this life and not the next life. 2 Corinthians 4:11. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be manifest. That's what Son Glory, right? The life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. There's no mortal flesh in heaven. Mortal flesh is only on the earth. It's not the new body. So God's purpose is that the life of Jesus would be manifested in this body through the suffering of death to self. The life of Jesus is resurrection life, and that's Son Glory. You go through death, death of self, and you come to resurrection life. This is what Paul's talking about. The glory of Christ is the righteousness of Christ. We put on Christ by putting on his righteousness. We put on the robes that the bride wears. That's what we're headed, right? To have her glorious robes. Well, Revelation 19 and 8 says, and it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So her robe is luminous. It's not just white, it's luminous. Whereas those in Revelation who are invited to the marriage supper, it's leukos. It's just white. Hers is lampros, shining. That's the bride. That's what we're seeking for. The glory of God shining out of us. And it's the righteous acts of the saints. Some people say, you don't have to have any acts. Well, you're not going to heaven. And as we manifest Christ through faith in what God has given us, the biggest temptation we have is to look in the mirror and see ourselves. We're told in James 1 and 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. So that's what you're believing for. You're seeing your natural face. If you see your natural face in the mirror, you will be a hearer of the word, but not a doer of the word. The devil will condemn you for your past sins, and you will have no faith. So how are we doers? Well, we can read it in 2 Peter 1 and 5. Yea, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence in your faith, comma. That's where the comma belongs, right there. Diligence in your faith. If you're diligent in your faith, you can have the rest of this. Because he goes on to say, supply virtue, and in your virtue, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, patience, and in your patience, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. So they're all in faith. We supply the faith that God has given us, and all of this is in it. Do you see? That's the way it's supposed to be translated. That's the way my translation translates it. That's the way the numeric translation translates it. It's not adding to your, adding to your, adding to your. That's you doing it. They're all in faith. When you walk by faith and you see Jesus in the mirror, God will be manifesting all of this in you. For if these things are yours and abound, how did you get these things? You believed Christ was in you. For if these things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle or unfruitful unto the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he that lacketh these things is blind. They're not seeing what we're talking about. That's what he's saying. He that lacketh these things is blind, seeing only what is near. They're looking in the mirror and seeing themselves. They don't see that this has been given to them. They should be looking on Jesus. He is the gift of God that was given to us. Having forgotten, they're nearsighted. Having forgotten the cleansing from their old sins. Do you know your sins are gone? Sin is not the problem. Unbelief is the problem. Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. Now, you can be called, but you won't be elect, because elect means chosen. When you go out in the field, you choose the fruit. If you don't have the fruit, you pass that bush up, right? Okay. For thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you believe you've received this free gift of Christ. His life, his nature is yours. So he's saying, if you lack any of these attributes of Christ, it's because you are nearsighted. Don't you remember? You were cleansed from your old sins. That means that the old man is dead. Or in other words, Peter is saying that if you are lacking these attributes, it's because you see yourself when you look in the mirror. You can't do these things unless you look in the mirror and see Christ, which is faith. That's what faith is. Jesus said in Luke 6 and 40, the disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is perfected, shall be as his teacher. Well, some people say, well, I don't believe in perfection. Well, you don't believe the Bible then, because that's what it says there. You know, a perfected here means matured. True. It's true. But matured is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you have to believe that when you are matured, you will walk like he walked, talk like he talked, and think like he thought. And you have to see it in the mirror by faith so that you can have it. So contrary to popular opinion, there is a difference of reward concerning sonship. Many have been taught that everybody gets the same reward, but that's contrary to the scriptures. This motivates each of us to be a doer and not just a hearer of the word. John 8 and 31, Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed him, they had believed him, but did they continue in that path? If you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples? So they would not be true disciples if they didn't continue to abide in his word, if they believe the words of man, right? So we can see here that if we believe Jesus as the scripture has said, we are now a true disciple. It's not those whom we have loosely called Christians who are going to enter into the kingdom. It's disciples who are going to enter into the kingdom, as we're seeing. And a disciple is a mathetes, a learner and a follower of the word, or Jesus, right? So it says in John 8 and 32, and you shall know the truth. So it's disciples who would know the truth, and disciples are those who abide in his word. John 8 and 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So only disciples get set free. Does this give you an understanding of why not all Christians get set free? John 8 and 33. They answered unto him, we are Abraham's seed and have never yet been in bondage to any man. But they are in bondage to a man, that one that they live in. and their religion. They were in bondage to men. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? And at the very particular time, they were in bondage to the Roman government, for goodness sake. They were in bondage. How say ye that we will be made free, huh? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, everyone that committeth sin is the bondservant of sin. There you are, you're serving that man right there. You're in bondage to that old man. And the bondservant abideth not in the house forever. Notice, the Son abideth forever. So if you're living in sin and you think it's okay, just remember what he said here. The bondservant abideth not in the house forever. The Son abideth forever. So we see here that sonship is the full manifestation of eternal life. A bondservant has not eternal life. He just said so. A bondservant abideth not in the house forever. So if you ask, but what if I am a son by faith? Yes, sonship is twofold. First of all, it's imputed by faith. And second of all, it's manifested as we walk in that faith. And if we abide in that faith and walk in that faith, sonship will progressively manifest in us. We abide in the faith that we've been made free from sin. But everyone who continues to walk in sin is the bondservant of sin. And the bondservant does not abide in the house forever. Paul said the same thing about the bondservant. Galatians 4 and 30, howbeit, what saith the scripture? Cast out the handmaid. Well, that's a bondservant. And her son, for the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. Wherefore, brethren, we are not children of the handmaid, but of the free woman. So if you are a son, then be a son by faith. And if you're walking in that faith as a disciple, you will be manifesting Christ. And if you walk by faith in him, you will do the mighty works of God. Don't try to attain to Christ by your works, because that puts you under the law and turns you back into a bondservant. As Paul said, so let me prove to you that the bondservant abideth not in the house forever. If you remember, in the parable of the marriage feast, many were bidden to the feast. In Matthew 22 and 11, we're told, but when the king came in to behold the guests, he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. The wedding garments are white robes, as in Revelation 3, 4 and 5, 18, 7, 13 through 14, 19 and 14. They're the white robes. They're the righteous acts of the saints. That's the wedding garment. So we read of the bride's wedding garments, Revelation 19 and 8, and it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And that's the bride. And in Romans 13 and 14, it says to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's that robe, right? And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We are to hate the garment spotted by the flesh, which is talking about fleshly works. We are to hate that. So Jesus told us of a man who didn't have on this wedding garment. He obviously was what we would call a Christian, or he wouldn't have made it into the marriage feast. The king saw this man, Matthew 22 and 12, And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Well, he obviously had been told that he was a shoe-in. He obviously thought he had a right to be there. He was speechless. He didn't read the Bible. He listened to the preacher. Then the king said to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and cast him out into outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Well, notice, he was called, but only the chosen got to stay. The merely called came, but they didn't get to stay, or in other words, they didn't have eternal life. This man without the wedding garment was called a Christian, but he didn't have eternal life. So when you walk in faith, you're able to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But this man wasn't walking in faith, and he wasn't putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was broken off as a branch. Romans 11 and 19, Thou wilt say then, Branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Here's somebody who's claiming to be a Christian. And the branches broken off were the Jews because they didn't believe. Well, by their unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by thy faith. So you see, you have to believe you have received what the Bible says you've received to be justified by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Notice, there's a lot of people who are not fearing. For if God spared not the natural branches, neither will he spare thee. So, in other words, you'll be broken off too if you don't bear fruit. That's what Jesus said. So, he was called, but he was broken off and not chosen. You have to be called and chosen, which means the fruit has been born and it's being picked. That's the same word for elect, chosen, or elect. And another example that you can be called but not be chosen is in the parable of the talents. Matthew 25 and 14, For it is when a man going into another country called his own servants, that was the Lord, right? And delivered unto them his goods, that was the Lord, and unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, and each according to his several ability. And he went on his journey. So, these are definitely servants of God who were given the talents. That's what it says. He gave it to his servants. He gave them these talents. And the Lord did not return until they brought forth fruit from these talents, or at least some did. The servant who received the 5 talents brought forth 5 more, and the servant who received the 2 talents brought forth 2 more. And their Lord said that they were good servants. Amen. But the servant who hid his 1 talent in the earth and didn't bring forth fruit from what his Lord gave him was an unprofitable servant. Now, this is easy to do in those churches out there because they're not emphasizing the fact that you're supposed to see Jesus in the mirror now and you're supposed to bear fruit now in this place in a mortal body. So the Lord gave him to be an unprofitable servant. Matthew 25 and 26. But his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I did not scatter. That was a lie. He gave it to him when he left. This person must have thought they had to bring it forth themselves. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the bankers, and at my coming I should have received back mine own with interest. Take ye away therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath the 10 talents. Took it away from a servant, gave it to another, who was faithful. For unto every one that hath shall be given. Hath what? Hath fruit from what the Lord gave him. Unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not what? Fruit. Even that which he hath shall be taken away. So hath and hath not here is talking about fruit of that which was given by God. The servant with the 5 talents brought forth 5 more. He brought forth fruit of what God gave him. But the servant who hath not is going to lose even that which he hath, the Bible says. So this is talking about those who've been loosely calling or loosely being called Christians. If they don't bring forth the fruit of what God gives them, the fruit of Christ, the same Christ, they will lose what they have. You're responsible to do something with what God gives you, whether it's 2 talents or whether it's 5 talents. The man with the 1 talent was just a servant, and he was not a son because he did nothing with his 1 talent. He was called but not chosen, and his talent was taken away from him and given to the profitable servant with the 10 talents. This is exactly what God is going to do with us. God's hope is to adopt his servants and make them sons. But every servant will not bear fruit and will not become a son. By faith, the adoption happened 2,000 years ago. And manifestly, it's when you bear Christ as 30, 60, or 100-fold fruit. The adoption is fully manifested when God gives you the new body. But in spirit and in soul, it's manifested while you are here on this earth, in your mortal body. Amen. Well, Father, we just ask you in the name of Jesus that you would help everybody understand these things, that this is what faith is, and this is how we walk into the kingdom, who is Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. Well, God bless you, saints. God keep you. Amen.